Sacramento. KRXQ HD2 Sacramento. ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Come on. One more time, because it's Friday. We welcome you in here to the Friday, March 7th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Guess we were the only ones who didn't put out an article today. My bad.
I guess.
Should have had my think piece ready to drop today.
Hey, man, they was waiting. And understand, I mean, this is the day to do it.
This is time to do it.
Yeah, this is the day to do it.
Interest is up. ESPN's got theirs. The New York Times, The Athletic, they've got theirs. And I don't know about y'all, ain't am bit of news in there. I guess other than we're trying to make Anjali the new boogie woman, I guess she's the new Matina. It's Anjali's fault that the organization is destructing. Like, it was funny, man. We can't make up our minds.
Jeremy Lamb may or may not be.
Yeah, they're not together, by the way. I don't know if that was noted in the article or not, but they broke up. I don't mean to put out personal business out there, but since we're putting personal business out there in articles, they're not together.
And shout out to us. We did classify him as Triple H. You know
and what I mean? We were right. Yeah. We did. Not everybody gets the reference. But it's time to play the game.
But no, I mean, your points won't take. I mean, it's all right.
No, let's be clear. Mike's firing at first, it was the front office. Mm-hmm. Then it was Vivek. Oh, wait a minute. Now Anjali was the one who didn't want him back. All right, dog. Okay. Look. There's probably some level of truth to all three of those.
Right.
But we can't make up our mind on whose fault the dysfunction of this organization is. Mm-hmm. We can't decide. It's too many people to choose from.
There are so many things going on this morning. I knew this morning was going to be, Fox is back. We're going to talk. It's going to be a busy day. I didn't account for the think pieces that, would say, and I'm not even saying anybody's lying or anything, but just like new information or conflicting information or speculation or whatever. It's all over. There's so much to talk
the
about.
The ESPN one is funny because there's the part where De'Aaron is talking about he's explaining. Oh, man, I literally just read the ESPN one minutes ago, but he's talking about how, like, someone is, we're sitting there trying to have a conversation, but I know what he's about to tell me because Rich already told me, and a reporter calls trying to break the story. But mind you, RGM hasn't told me yet, so I had already been told even before I was told by our team. So he's talking about a person in the front office. He's like, oh, I'm not going to name the person in the front office. It's Wes. Everybody knows it's Wes. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Oh my God, man. This organization is a mess. Two, you could say anything and they'd believe you.
Well, you could
literally say anything.
And that's the thing. I'm not here to say that it's not a mess, but like you just said, you can say anything. Now Anjali's name is in there. Oh, she's running the Kings. Is she really? Or are you just, like you said, saying anything,
so much influence,
and it'll stick.
Yeah, she's got so much influence.
You know what I'm
influence.
Saying? And then
because
then,
remember, wasn't that long ago it was Matina who was running everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then that goes, I think a lot of this stuff, to be honest with you, and we're going to break it all down. We're going to talk about it. I want to hear from everybody. I want to hear from everybody. So a lot of this is distracting people, at least in my eyes, from the meat and potatoes of it.
Bread and meat.
Bread and meat of it
all. Yeah,
yeah. Shout out TC.
Yep.
Should Mike Brown have been fired or not?
Well, that's the thing, too. I talked about the insiders earlier. It's like, all right, you keep Mike Brown around to keep one guy happy, or you let Mike Brown go to keep others happy on the team.
Oh, that's the other one.
I'll pause it right there.
Yeah.
Is that so? We are for sure that if they keep Mike Brown around, De'Aaron Fox is staying.
No, I'm not.
Nobody is, but it's being put out there as if that's why I left. You know what I'm saying? That's why I left because I didn't want another coach.
What's funny
That's why I left. Not to mention, I didn't sign the contract. I probably, with this coach around and with this team, wasn't going to make All-NBA. We probably weren't going to make the playoffs. And I'm just going to – yeah, I was going to come back regardless. But once they got rid of Mike Brown, that was it for me.
Mm.
All right. I'm just saying that's what's being painted out there. Is it true? Is it accurate? I don't know, but that's what's being painted. But and I don't think that's accurate.
I love because both the New York Times and ESPN did this. Well, he didn't sign multiple contract extensions. Again, all of this very explicit clearance for me to repeat on the air. De'Aaron, I didn't sign the effing contract because of the money. That is verbatim what the man said. Mm-hmm. I didn't sign the contract because of the money. Now, I'm guessing whatever variety of reporters he talked to, he said the same thing to them. But that doesn't look good for the story.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sign the – if De'Aaron had made his second All-NBA team last year, they would have had to have traded a five-year, $300-whatever-million contract.
Right. Right.
That's what this was about. It was about dollars and cents. We were adamant about that from the beginning. Never once criticized De'Aaron Fox for not signing that contract extension. It made zero financial sense for him to do so. He did it for the money. He told us he did it for the money. It makes sense to do it for the money. But to now reshape this and say, oh, he didn't sign it because he was upset with the organization. There wasn't enough clarity there. That's BS.
And even,
that's all trash.
And I'll go. And I agree with you. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We'll talk about it more today. But I'll even go away from that. We get to today. They're where Phoenix is. They're not making the playoffs. He's not making All-NBA. But Mike Brown is here.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me, securing the Bagley and everybody else, De'Aaron Fox is going to sign the extension here in Sacramento because Mike Brown is still the coach, like, today. That money is gone. He's not getting the All-NBA money. He can only get the max of what the Kings can get him. You guys are sure. And De'Aaron, that's the question that should be asked. De'Aaron, if they would have kept Mike Brown, all the stuff aside, are you signing regardless? I don't believe he is. I believe he's asking out. So it's a little disingenuous to be like, I left because they fired Mike Brown. If they weren't good, you were going to leave.
The funny part about that scenario that you just presented is he wouldn't be the only one asking out.
No. And I'm not even blaming him. I'm not even saying he's wrong. I'm just saying the way it's been painted, at least to me, and you could tell me if I'm reading it wrong or you're reading it differently. The way it's being presented is Mike Brown being fired was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to believe if Mike Brown wasn't fired, we just would have been good.
Yeah, I think you're making an assumption.
I am.
But yeah, I think you're making an assumption that that's the case. There is a heavy emphasis on Mike Brown's firing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do that, when you weigh so heavily on one thing, you kind of remove the other options, so to speak. You remove, not the options, the other scenarios. Mm-hmm. You remove the other possibilities. The possibility that Mike Brown stays. DeMar is upset. Domas is upset. Unnamed player number three is upset. And you wind up 9-10 games under 500 to end the season. Mm-hmm. Or 5 games under 500. Or 4 games under 500. Whatever.
Yeah.
You wind up a bad basketball team.
Did the Kings end up making the right moves, even with all this dysfunction?
Probably.
Oh, there's a 19-11 record to show us that, yes, you did.
Yeah, probably. And for this year, and maybe for the the franchise. And here, and to that point of the
13 and 18,
they're 13 and 19, I think. Maybe they're 13.
No, 13 and 19 was that's when they started winning because Doug lost
the first one. You're right. You're right.
And what did we say? 18 and 19 and 11.
Yeah.
So we're off. It's 31 games to 30, right? I got that math right. Mm-hmm. That's so 13 and 18 tonight. Tonight will be the 31st game that Doug Christie coaches. Each coach will have coached 31 games this year. Let's go with the best case scenario. 13 and 18 versus 20 and 11. Dang. Kings get the win tonight. Those are the records of the two coaches, 31 games in the same season. Mm-hmm. To be clear, I love Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. 13 and 18 to 20 and 11.
It's clear as day.
What discussion are we having at this point?
Well, I guess the other side of it is: are you willing to stick with Mike Brown and what that season was to keep De'Aaron Fox around? I guess
No, I'm not.
He had to, and they did. We talked about it. We joked about it. Whatever. They did what was best for business, and that's what I'm talking about. Everybody talking about all this other stuff, and I understand it. It's topical. It's the Kings. I get all that. In that moment, you do what's best for business, and we could talk about how we got there. They shouldn't have hired Mike Brown. They shouldn't have, you know, whatever. At that moment, your season was dying. You do what's best for business. You get him out of there, and you deal with everything later. If it means De'Aaron wants to go, then that's what it means. You weren't winning with him here anyway. And I'm not even saying it like I fool with Fox.
No.
But like that should not factor into an organizational decision like that.
Yeah. There's so much stuff out there that's just funny, man. Which is why I just want to talk to my guys every day. Like, don't tell me nothing anymore because I know when all you hoes are lying. I know who's talking to who, and I'm just reading through this like you can't – like you – both of these, like you can't be serious. Mm. This is what we're doing. Mm. Okay. This is what we're doing. Well, we'll set the record straight on as much of it as we can. Not that what Ant-Man and Sam wrote was wrong, but there is some interesting angles in it. the Monty McNair stuff is the stuff I just can't get over. We'll talk about it. We're here. Why not? It's the Kings and the Spurs tonight. De'Aaron Fox back at the Golden One Center. D'Lo and Kate, shout out to the Fox family if y'all are listening right now.
Man, it's love.
D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Have some confidence in yourself.
Work with a bunch of children.
Well, we had James today saying he's looking forward to the beef tonight.
Well,
so.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, he did say that. Then he tried to play through it, but no, well, there needs
Joe
to be.
Let him play on.
Joe?
Joe needs to go to referee training.
Joe, a rookie official. Like, give Joe a little leeway here. He's a rookie official.
He's the younger Hockey Lee.
Yeah. he's still trying to get his legs underneath him and figure out when he goes, hey, we're going to do that and jump in and throw the flag. Kyle Mattson to the Insiders with us here. What do you think of all these articles that dropped today? They move you in any way at all?
No, not in any way that makes me feel differently than I did previously about De'Aaron Fox, the Kings, or otherwise. Like dysfunction in the front office and above. Whoa, crazy! I had no idea. Like, yeah,
clutch no, pearls.
It's kind of laying bare all the stuff that. If it wasn't already public, was stuff you could surmise through connecting dots.
The thing that I have questions about with like all this stuff, right? Is and Sam and Ant-Man, like I said, these guys are A1. Those are my boys. So this ain't towards them, but like the Anjali stuff. I mean, who is saying that? How true is it? Not what somebody told them being true, mm-hmm. But like Kyle, if you were like, man, Wesley, she around here a lot. Who knows? Am I going to have to start answering to Wesley? Mm-hmm. Nobody, like, that was founded on nothing. That's just a conversation that we had and how you feel. That's not founded on new Aaron saying anything or anybody in Philadelphia saying anything. That's just you saying, man, Wesley's around a lot. I might have to start answering to her.
She might be running this place one day.
She might be.
She's sharp enough.
She's a little too quiet over there, too. Which I think she's plotting on us. But my whole point, Danielle and Jesse.
Yeah. They're going to run the whole company.
But it's, you know, like, where are these conversations coming from for somebody to say that? Is it somebody with some concrete, like, this is happening to get up here and say she might be running the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I have no idea. I just assume, I don't assume guys like Amick and Slater are just hearing from rando guy who cleans toilets.
But it don't even have to be rando guy. It could be a guy that is unjustly paranoid about nothing. Right? It could be
named Wes. Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Oh, Wesley.
What? Yeah, Wesley. It's just right out there.
But that's who it could be. It, like, the people who are higher up can say things that they feel that have no basis to it. They just looking around and like, well, she was in this meeting the other day. Is she really running things? Jeremy Lamb has been at these games a lot. Is he about to run things too?
So that's the question I have. Is we hear about them being around, or Alvin Gentry being around, or Joe Dumars, and all these names that have through the years that they pulled back. That's what I don't know. Is Vivek getting off the phone with Monty McNair when Monty McNair says, "Hey, we might have to go a different direction with Mike Brown," and he looks at Anjali and goes, "I don't know. What do we do?" Or is she just happened to be sitting next to him when that phone call was made? That's where I don't.
That could be the case. I'm not going to speculate.
I don't know.
That could be the case. But even if he gets off the phone and Angelique's sitting right there and he says, man, this is what's going on. What you think? Like, that's not necessarily dysfunction.
I do think so. So no, I think you're right. No, that's right. The issue for me, the dysfunction comes in when, to me, a healthy organization is one where, and this might be pie in the sky and maybe nothing runs like this, but in my brain, this is what a healthy organization looks like. Ownership is always going to sign off on everything because they own the team. You can't just do stuff and the owner's not going to be around. It's their money. It's their team. That's going to be.
Even when you're playing football on the beach, still your team.
Explain, please.
Well, no, Vivek was playing football on the beach, I think, when Mike was fired, right? Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay. Got it. Okay, yes.
He's running routes.
Yes. He cooked Angeli. I think that's who was guarding him, Angeli.
Was it Angeli? Oh, come on, Angeli. You got to be able to move in the sand.
That's why she doesn't have any influence.
Can't get beat on an out route by your dad. Come on, man.
Especially on the near hash. Come on. That's day one stuff.
What are we doing?
Use the sideline as a defender.
Come on, man. Jeremy Lamb, all-time quarterback out
linebacker there. You play outside leverage. Let's go.
Come on, Angeli. Everybody knows that.
No, you hire somebody to be the basketball ops guy or general manager or whatever title you want to give them, and they do stuff. They have the final say. Mm-hmm. Is there, with the Kings, the way that article made it sound, is no one's quite sure who has the final say. Whether it's Monty or Wes or Anjali or Alvin Gentry or Matina or Vivek, it's just all these people who are like, have varying levels of influence, maybe based on moods, based on the day, I don't know. And that's where I think the dysfunction comes in, is nobody's really sure exactly what the Kings organizational structure looks like.
I'm not sure that I believe that.
Yeah.
I think their concern might be more whatever Anjali's role in this, and I believe it's minimal at best, if that is, well, she has an opinion. Well, so does Monty. So does Wes, because apparently this freaking franchise has two general managers.
Which is insane, by the way. That little nugget in there about, like, yeah, Monty McNair hasn't been seen and Wes Wilcox is out here running around talking to everybody. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that happening? Anyways, go
a
on.
A former King star player who now plays in San Antonio once said to me, "You can't even have a conversation with Monty. You'll never guess who it was." Again, he said we could talk about this on the air. None of this phases him. He very much does not care. He was like, "Yeah, you can't have a conversation with Monty."
Oof.
Man. But this team, but they both have opinions. Alvin has an opinion. He's been in the league 40 years.
Sure.
The man's got an opinion.
Sure.
All of these people take their opinion to Vivek, and I think that is what people's concern is instead of everyone converge with the general manager, they all just go straight to the owner.
Right.
Because you have two general managers, which immediately minimizes the impact of either one of them.
Right. And either one of those guys may or may not have any kind of pull or power. Which I think is a problem.
Oh, there's a lot of problems with that front office for sure.
Right.
But absolutely.
And, right. And that's what I'm, so that's kind of, that was my takeaway is it's a lot of cooks in a kitchen where nobody's exactly sure. Like Vivek, the owner obviously has like final say, but the person to kind of field all those concerns, comments, and to craft it into a, okay, here's the thing. I have a direction for this team. Here's the thing that's best to continue having this team move in this direction. This is what I want to do. I'm going to take this now to Vivek Ranadive, the owner, to sign off on it just because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's how this works. And I think that's a problem.
Hmm. Yeah, I try to figure out all this stuff best I can, and that's probably my first problem. You can't figure out what's going on with the Kings.
Right.
That's the first problem. But I also look at it like, I mean, there is a, for lack of a better term, a final boss. It's Vivek.
Sure.
Like when things go down, they seem to go to him. I think the next person in charge seems to be, and this is a problem. I would guess it's Wes Wilcox. Because if you can't talk to Monty, then I almost like what is he even doing there?
That's it.
Like if you can't,
that's a huge problem.
And we don't know what that even means. Like, is he not talking to people? Is he not accessible? Is Vivek not making him accessible?
I think
like
what does that mean? Awkward,
huh?
I think it means he's awkward. Mm. He's a hard person to carry a conversation with.
Sure.
Some guys are just hard to carry conversations. Right. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah,
it just means they're. They're hard to carry conversations with, and that was the impression that I got.
Mm.
And it's not the first time I heard that, by the way.
It's
just he's like Wes is a charismatic guy.
Yes.
Like Monty's
for
not.
Sure. Right.
Like Monty is not, but Wes is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a difference between the two.
Yeah, for sure.
One of many.
I would think I'm just guessing. I probably shouldn't do this. But
nice.
I would think Wes has more say so than Monty.
Kind of feels
like he might just by nature of his charisma,
mm-hmm.
or whatever word you want to use, his outgoingness,
mm-hmm.
he might be willing to say stuff, and Monty's like,
mm-hmm.
that might be a personality driven thing.
Yeah,
but it's like with the 49ers, for example. Jed York's the owner. Jed York is going to sign off on everything. He's just going to make sure everything's good. There's Parag who does all the numbers and the contract stuff, but football wise, it's Kyle Shanahan. Buck stops at Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
John Lynch is there.
Yeah.
John Lynch is going to offer his opinion. Scouts are going to offer their opinions. Josh Williams, who's their director of scouting, he's going to have his opinions. All these things are going to be taken into account, and then Kyle Shanahan's going to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to fall on Kyle Shanahan. If the 49ers go 6-11 this year, that's when ownership might step in and be like, hey, we're spending as much money as anybody else in the league. Why are we winning 12 games in 2 years? And making changes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, oh, random guy from the scouting department wants to do this, and Kyle wants to do this, and John Lynch wants to do this, so, man, I'm not really sure what to do here. It's not, there's no confusion. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows whose team it is. Everybody knows who runs that show. And it's Kyle Shanahan. I don't think anybody knows who runs the show with Sacramento.
Well, that's why I go back. It's Vivek runs the show. And then when Vivek
and that to me is a problem.
When Vivek isn't running the show, I just said I think it's Wes, so I'll stay with that. I do think Monty has some kind of say-so. And that's an issue in itself, is it Monty, is it Wes, or whatever. But I don't think Alvin, Anjali, like, I don't think they're making decisions. And that's what comes off in this article. They're not decision makers.
Right.
They're offering their opinion just like any other organization in all the sports. But when it gets down to it, I think it's Vivek. And then this is a problem. It's either or Monty or Wes. It needs to be one of those people. But it's just those three. Mm-hmm. And they paint it as if it's just a free-for-all. And it's mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case.
I think the brainstorming process is a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to yeah. Kyle's point, like, if John or Parag or whoever or scouting guy has an idea, the idea probably goes to Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the Sacramento Kings structure, that idea probably goes to Vivek.
Mm-hmm.
And then that puts net now you've immediately undermined your general manager.
Right.
Right,
because you've immediately undermined your general manager by having an assistant who seems to do more work than he does. So I'll rephrase this and say you've immediately undermined your front office by taking an idea mm-hmm. directly, whether it's Alvin or it's Anjali or whoever, taking an idea straight to the owner. You've undermined your entire front office.
Yeah.
What if the reason this is kind of a problem, like, we can go to the De'Aaron Fox trade. I don't know if this is how it happened. I'm just laying out, if somebody's going like, well, yeah, if the owner of the team wants to have a say, like, he's going to have a say. Here's why this is a problem. If your front office believes, hey, the best way, here's this trade we got for De'Aaron Fox, it's going to be these picks, and it's going to be these young guys from San Antonio, and this is the way we want to do it, and Vivek or whoever has gotten in Vivek's ear and is like, yeah, but hey, Zach LaVine would look really cool in a Kings uniform. And they decide that that's the, and Vivek's like, oh yeah, we have to do that. To hell with what the front office wants. I need to give Zach LaVine in here. Not saying that's what happened. Just here's an example. That to me is a problem. If your front office that you've hired wants to do thing A, and then owner gets somebody in his ear saying like, yeah, but hey, Zach LaVine, I know I talked to some people in Chicago, we can get Zach LaVine. And then he goes, oh wait, I would rather do that. That's silly to me. You can't have that.
Do you think that happens?
I think it has happened. I don't think it happened necessarily with this, unless Vivek isn't planning on moving forward with this front office and said to hell with what they think. I want Zach LaVine.
I think that's very possible too.
Okay. Help me if I'm wrong.
Just real quick, Legends got the Stephen A. LeBron audio.
For those
that celebrate, just wanted to point that out. Just Legends, stay on top of
Shout
it.
Shout out to our
next,
boy Legends.
Next time Legends is in the chat, man, show them some love.
Man, absolutely.
They got the Stephen A. LeBron audio out.
These boys don't sleep.
I don't know how they do this, but salute.
They handle business. From everything that we've seen and we've heard and all this other stuff, that has not been the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been the case. We always joke about it, but it's true. Reports, whatever the reports are that Vivek wants, he don't never get. He never gets it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not the coach, not a draft pick, not nothing.
It's always the contrary to what everybody else wants.
Always.
Sure.
So you lay out that scenario.
Even down to Doug Christie, and no one has applauded Vivek. But no one changes course.
No.
When Keegan Murray works out, no, because remember, everybody wanted Jaden Ivey except Vivek Ranadive. No one applauded him for that.
He was in
I was on the Keegan at 4 train, by the way.
Oh, good receipts. For you. Yeah, I was not.
No, I'm out. I'm kind of out on Keegan.
I have the receipts. Like, I was not.
but that's the whole, like, the scenario that you laid out, somebody getting in his ear and then he says, oh, I want this guy, it never happens. Mm-hmm. Or he might say it, and at the end of the day, he goes with whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, and if we want to believe, like, LaVine, this is the time, mm-hmm. this feels like the one time that's happened.
Because
mm-hmm. he wanted Mark Jackson. Vivek wanted Mark Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted... did he want, I always compare, Keegan or Jaden Ivey?
Jaden Ivey. No. He wanted Keegan Murray.
He wanted
sorry.
Keegan. That's
he wanted
right.
Keegan.
Everybody mm-hmm. else wanted Jaden Ivey. Right. So I guess he got his way there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it, for the most part, it seems like it doesn't happen. It doesn't go down his way.
So do you think De'Aaron Fox is lying when if he's worried about dysfunction?
No, I don't think he's lying. I don't think he's lying at all. I also think it's a little overblown because, number one, These are the same people that were here when everything was great. Now that you're losing, it's dysfunction and there's a problem. And number two, if all this dysfunction was going on and this was such as a problem, money would have outweighed it. If he would have made All-NBA, he's not leaving because of this dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a cop-out.
Okay.
Or a reason. But
What has Vivek Ranadive done to earn the benefit of the doubt from you?
He hadn't done nothing as far as like his record and winning-wise.
Sure.
He hadn't done nothing. The way I see things, he listens to these people who lead him astray. Maybe he hires the wrong people.
That's, I think, the issue.
That might be the
case.
That,
to me, is the problem.
But the perception is that he's meddling, he's involved in everything, and he's messing everything up.
Mm-hmm.
When that, I don't believe that's the case. I believe more than not, he's letting these people do what they need to do, and they're either wrong for the job, or, to your point, there's too many people that he's letting do their job.
Yeah, that's to me, where this comes in. Is there's just too many voices to potentially lead this thing astray.
Mm-hmm.
Hire a president of basketball ops or a GM that you trust. And if you've got Alvin Gentry coming to you and being like, hey, thing X, Y, and Z. And you got Anjali saying like, you know what? A thing A, B, and C. And the GM's like, LMNOP. Then, all right, hey, we're got to go with what the GM's doing because he's got the final say. And just let that happen. That's what I think happens.
I think that's my whole point. I think that happens. I've had conversations with people. Seemed like there was only one person that wanted Devin Carter. Seemed that there was only one person that was willing and wanted to draft him.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted him. And it wasn't Vivek, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
They drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like that happens. Like there's voices. I hear voices in my head,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day,
they counsel me. They understand. They talk.
There you go. I thought you were gonna let it go.
I'm gonna do you like that.
But
no, I'd love that movie song.
Yep, it's good. No, you're fine.
Song?
Yep. No.
Nope. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Theme song.
Yeah.
Entrance music.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton.
Yeah. Oh, obviously. Yeah, Randy. I wasn't saying it just because it's so obvious.
Who's Randy Orton?
I believe he quarterbacked the Super Bowl.
How do you quantify who Randy Orton is?
No, to me, it's what is Randy Orton?
Yeah, it's a good call. Yeah, good call.
So I think that's where we agree, but then there's a little part where we separate. I think that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Vivek is listening to these people and then chiming in. I think he may be listening to these people, and at the end of the day, one of you two guys, or maybe one, you do what you do. That's the problem.
Yeah,
like,
they don't have
the one guy.
That's what. Clear them out.
I don't think those other voices are as impactful as are being let on. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, he may hear all these other people, Monty or Wes. That's the problem. Monty or Wes, what do you want to do? All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't really care what Anjali's saying. I don't care what Alvin's saying.
And it's gotten sideways, which is why, to me, it's like, hey, unless you go to the conference finals this year or win a championship, you got a clean house. Because whatever the direction they're going is not the right direction. So time to move on.
Domas wants clarity, according to the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm going to hold off on that. Because I feel like my take on that might be a little too strong.
I think all three of us should.
Hold off? Yeah.
Oh, I've got takes.
Well,
What do you need to get for Domas in the trade market?
No. I think all three of us. Now, but so this is what I also say, Kyle.
If they had beat Denver, I think all hell would have broke loose. You break Denver and that line drops in the article?
Come on, man. I believe. All this is a bit of a distraction from what we're talking about.
Hmm.
We're talking about De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
Who wanted to move on.
Yep.
Because he told them, I don't want to play for another coach.
Hmm.
They were 13-18. Season was circling the drain.
Hmm.
They had a decision to make.
Hmm.
Looks like they made the right one.
Hmm.
Like, that's what we're, that's what it is. Like, we can get distracted, and he can bring up, oh, it's so crazy in there, and you can't even do it. Hey, we talking about why you wanted to leave. You wanted to leave because they got rid of the coach that you mm-hmm. wanted to stay. That was the right decision. If they would have listened to you, they'd probably be 5-6 games under again.
Sure.
And that's what we're talking like, and that's why I say it's a distraction. You can bring up all this other stuff and talk about all this other stuff. We talking about why he left and what's going on. And why he gave him that ultimatum. It was the coach. It wasn't everything else.
I think it's less – I've taken it as – you might be right. I've taken it as less like the Mike Brown decision in a vacuum and more like, okay, I have no confidence that even if he's like, yeah, rock with Doug. Doug's my guy. I love Doug. We're going to be awesome under Doug. But I don't think he had the confidence that if they hired Doug Christie next year, that Doug Christie was going to be the coach in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would he? So that was that to me, it's like it's a bigger picture thing than just like the Mike Brown.
So why
isn't
he just saying the bigger picture? Because the way he's presenting the way he's presenting it,
he wanted stability.
And once again, it's assumption for me is if they wouldn't have fired Mike Brown, he'd still be here today, and he'd still want to sign that contract. That's how because that's all he ever talks about. When they fired Mike, I let him know they knew where I stood.
Yeah,
he don't say anything else. He just said they knew where I stood with that.
I'm gonna play the role of De'Aaron Fox here. My guess is the justification would be that he doesn't believe they would still be 5 games under with Mike Brown. And I think he would even if they were, I think he would say it's not Mike Brown's fault. Because when he talked to the media with San Antonio for the first time, the first thing he talked about was San Antonio's focus on defense, their size, their athleticism, and all the things. He literally name-dropped Mike and said all the things that Mike and I talked about. That was the problem to me more than Mike Brown. And so that's why I think he would still be here.
You think he's still? Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Super dumb and naive, but
maybe we know nothing. Maybe we're engagement farming.
And who is Randy Orton?
I hear voices in my head. They talk to me.
Man. How does the rest of that song go?
I don't know. They talk to me.
We have fun here.
He is, I believe, a 14-time WWE champion.
That's crazy. Dude.
Sneakily, 14. Too. Yeah.
14.
No doubt.
If you would have asked
under
me,
the radar.
I would have said like 7. It's like if 14. You would have, like, because I didn't know that until you just said that. I would have said, like,
I might have just made that up, just like Kyle was.
No, I think you're right. It's 14. Yeah, it's at least 12.
It's
I know
a
that.
Really high number.
It's a tough thing to wrap my head around after Cena turned heel. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what you guys get it.
Oh, for sure.
Your thoughts.
Oh,
I mean, the whole
it is kind
lead
of
up and everything.
Okay, pulling the plug on the bit here for a second. The fact that they did a thing. That, like, Chris Biederman and I were talking about this. The fact that they did a thing that is just I don't know anything about wrestling, clearly. And when I saw that drop on Twitter, I was like, hey, oh my God. Like, that's crazy. I knew that was nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for them to do that in a way that permeated the culture like that is really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we talked about on Monday. It's always fun when a wrestling story hits non-wrestling fans' timelines and you kind of see their reaction to it. And that's certainly happening around the basketball world, but LeBron and Stephen A. scooped all of our heat. It would have been all about De'Aaron Fox and his return to Sacramento today, but John Bull, that's tough.
That's bad beat.
John Bull said, Kyle talking about wrestling is like LeBron James' favorite Malcolm X quote or his favorite line from The Godfather.
Man, it's just so many.
So many. Big thanks to Kyle Mattson and the Insiders for being here with us. We will come back. I wish we had asked at least one Brock Purdy question. Shoot.
Do you just want to ask it and go to 58?
You know, Kyle's got stuff to do.
Do I?
Do you? Okay.
I'm going to the game tonight. I'm going to.
Oh, your vibes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. All right. Let's just stay here. It's Friday. We like it matters anyways.
What are we going to lose?
Matter.
We're going to lose?
We could take a 30-minute commercial break at 3:30 and it wouldn't matter.
How long was WCW streak?
83 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. We
Yeah,
tripled that.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we're not WCW. There was a report from Jason Lockenfora that the 49ers opening offer to Brock Purdy was in the range of $45 million per year. One, do you believe that? Two, your thoughts.
Okay. I'm not going to answer your first question.
Okay.
$45 million is not, if that's right, I don't think that's egregious.
Really?
Yeah, considering, like, we know how negotiations go. One team or one side goes, hey, how about this small amount?
Yeah, but this
and then Brock
has
Purdy's,
failed San Francisco year after year after year.
No doubt, no doubt. And that's, so that's, that, yes, that's problematic. And the fact that you've got Adam Schefter and now Albert Breer out here going, well, it's not a lock, a deal gets done. They could just play out the year and then franchise tag him twice and pay him $97 million for the next 3 years. You know what? That's not great for Purdy, but man, the Niners can. That's a disaster. That in itself, if the Niners want to go, hey, how about 45? And Brock goes, eh, how about 65? And the Niners go, okay, well, hey, how about 50? Like, it's not that easy, but like, if that's how you just want to start and kind of get things rolling, okay, fine. But that we're sitting here on March 7th and the prevailing story is, well, from national reporters, mind you, maybe they'll just kick the can down the road. Like, they can do it. It'd be cheaper. That's insane. Like, that's totally nuts to me. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in Brock Purdy, or you need to see more from Brock Purdy, then you pay him and figure it out. If you need to see more from him, or you think like, not really, then trade his ass and do what you have to do to trade up and get a new quarterback. The fact, like, that's, I know it sounds extreme, but that's what we're talking about here with Brock Purdy.
I'm with you.
Pay him. If he's your franchise quarterback, you pay him. What are we talking about?
And I don't know why at this point he wouldn't be looked at as your franchise guy right now. Is he a guy that can win a Super Bowl for you? I don't know. We don't know that. We don't know that. But for where you're at right now, I think he's about as good as you can get.
I would agree.
So you pay him. You pay him fairly. You don't have to pay him a million more than Dak Prescott or anything else like that. But you pay him fairly. And we were talking about it the other day with Jesse and everybody. There's three guys there that if I'm going to do right by Brock Purdy and if I'm his agent, I'm looking at Trevor Lawrence, looking at Jordan Love, I'm looking at Tua. And you either match that or you give me $1 million more. Mm-hmm. There's no way I need to be under those guys on the list.
Yeah, I think.
Tua's at 53, the other two at 55, I believe.
What's Goff at? Is he at 50?
Goff is, yeah, he's lower. Right, he's a little lower than that, yeah.
Yeah, I think because like the Lions have paid a bunch of really good players with Jared Goff on there. Like, this is not prohibitive, this deal. What's prohibitive is all the dead money they have because they've been restructuring guys and pushing money down the line. Like, that's the issue here to me. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting in sports in general, but specifically with Brock Purdy. If Nick Bosa stays home on 4th-and-1 and drops Patrick Mahomes in overtime, idiot. Brock Purdy's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and there's no question about whether he gets paid. Mm-hmm. That's the insane part about this. Mm-hmm. Is there people in the chat like, relax on Purdy, he's not that guy. Bro, he was a defensive stop away from winning a Super Bowl. What are we talking about? Like, that's, so I, again, I'm not 100%, he's not a tier one guy. He might not even be a tier two guy. And if he is, if you want to put him in tier two, he's at the bottom of that tier. Mm-hmm. But when
tier one is like two guys,
tier one is very, if you find a tier one quarterback, you got extremely
lucky.
It's
Lamar and Mahomes.
Well, I thought you were even going to say Allen and the majority.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe
Josh Allen.
Yeah, and the majority of them hadn't even got to a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're on their
Lamar
own tier.
Lamar and Josh Allen.
They can barely get to a championship game. So why are we getting crazy on Brock for not being able to?
Well, because they're all in one conference, and that conference belongs to one guy. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, right, but it's a team-building thing, too. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are at a level that when you pay them, and Patrick Mahomes, who actually makes less, it's weird, but when you pay those guys at that level, you feel really good that, you know what, we might have to trim the roster here and there, but you know what, they're going to be good enough to be the rising tide that lifts all boats. I'm not 100% sold that Brock's that guy. And I don't think the Niners are 100% sold that Brock is that guy.
I see.
And so that's what it comes down to. It's not about like, oh, this guy did this, this guy did that. It's if you pay this guy this money, 55, whatever it is, and you're looking at what your contract situations look like in 26, 27, 28, are we going to be able to build a good enough team around this guy? Because if we have a, I don't know, B-level talent around him, we're a Super Bowl contender. We're looking in 3 years like, man, talent around is looking like C-. Can we pay the guys we need to pay to get back up to that level around him, to give him the support system he needs to be this MVP caliber quarterback? Mm-hmm. And I get why the 49ers have a question on that, but at the same time, man, you say play out this year, we'll franchise tag you next year, we'll franchise tag you the year after, and every year the question looming over everything is, hey, is Brock Purdy good enough? Is Brock Purdy the guy? Oh, threw an interception with the game on the line. Oh, God, you need a new quarterback. Throw it's a game-winning touchdown the next week. Oh, hey, now you have to pay him. That sounds insane. Mm-hmm. That is you can't survive like that in the modern NFL.
The other thing that I don't know if is realistic, and maybe it's not even fair to the 49ers, but that thought process that you have, like, oh, man, if we pay him, then we're only going to have C-level talent around. Bro, John, let's caution. Do your job.
That's it.
Find the players.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? You think you sorry as a scout, as a That's talent it. Evaluator? Like, do your job. Have trust not only in the quarterback, but in yourself, that if we pay this guy, we have a great scouting department and a great staff around us. Well, I'm not saying just anybody's going to be Fred Warner or, you know, Debo in his prime. I'm not saying that, but we can find talent around you. We can't. It's difficult to find a quarterback that, at the very least, if you have the talent, can even get you to the Super Bowl. Those guys aren't readily available. You know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of teams with talent, but they're like, I don't know if we have the quarterback. Detroit and Jared Goff got all the talent in the world. I think he can get us to the Super Bowl. I don't know. When the season was really on the line, I know the defense was horrible, but he threw 3 picks.
Yep.
So if they are looking at it like that, which I don't think is far-fetched at all, man up. Don't be so weak in the knees. Have confidence in yourself that you're going to find some players.
Yeah.
Get this guy signed, man.
Debo trade surprise you?
No.
When exactly?
Yes, actually.
In what
the
regard?
Trade.
That they traded him. Okay. Or that he got, I'm sorry, let me take that back. That they got anything for him.
Yeah.
I was certain he was just going to get cut and they were going to eat the 31 and a half this year and that's what it was going to be. But the fact they got a 5th round pick for him, the contract was a mess.
Yeah.
But that they got anything for him is like, all right.
I think that's
a surprise.
I think that's stupid. I think that not the trade or anything. The rules in the NFL. If I trade a guy, his money should not be on my books anymore. Maybe I'm too NBA with it, but they're accepting him
because,
as part of the deal.
Because they restructured his contract, so they made his cap number less in 1 year and pushed that money into a future year. It's like you still have to pay that against the cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you still that's still money.
Otherwise, you could just restructure, trade, and never be held financially responsible for someone, right?
Or
Washington still has to pay him. It's not like the Niners have to take on all of his contract. They're just taking on the cap that they committed to when they signed the deal and then moved into the future. You can't just run away from that.
Well,
it's the same money they were going to eat if they cut him.
It's still stupid. You shouldn't be able to trade him and still be on the hook for him. Just my opinion.
But you're not, I think the point, you're not on the hook for their salary, though.
No, but you're on the hook cap-wise.
Yeah, because you were going to be on the hook for that anyway.
And does that have to do more with the restructure of the contract?
Yes. Right.
So they restructure these deals like it's like the Deshaun Watson deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to give us some relief here, but that dead cap's like $100 million, so it's not like we can fully get away from it. I think it's a way of holding teams responsible.
No, I think that's fine. Well, first of all, it goes back to this because I thought about this. The restructuring shouldn't be allowed.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah,
restructuring shouldn't be allowed.
Absolutely.
But if everybody should
cut the player or play him.
Yeah. Then that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? So yep. I understand what you guys are saying. I just don't think on a number of different levels it's fair or right.
Do you know the Saints are $45 million over the salary cap right now?
With who?
It's outrageous.
How?
All this money they've kicked into the future. They just restructure.
That's a funny sentence. They're $45 million over the cap because of all of the money they kicked into the future. That's amazing.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a plot of a movie or something.
That's the other thing, if I can just real quick jump on a soapbox.
You don't.
There's been all this really big deal made about like the 49ers want to reallocate how they're spending money or want to not spend as much money. It's like, no, the 49ers don't want to be dumping a bunch of money into players like Deebo Samuel when they're past their effectiveness, and Dee Ford and Javon Hargrave. It's like they're going to spend money. They're going to be right up against the cap. I'm guessing they'll be top eight or so in cash spent again this year. They just want to make sure that they're doing that in a smart way to set themselves up to have a more sustainable window. Like that's what we're talking about. There's just been this big, what's the word? Like this freak out online about this idea that the 49ers aren't going to spend money because they're trying to get younger. It's like, oh, a team is going to try not to dump money into aging veterans who aren't going to be effective for them, and they're going to try and draft good players instead. Like, that's just the right thing to do.
And you're 100% right. And I take it as that's just like a reset right now. Let's say they draft four starters in this draft. In 5 years, they'll probably do the same thing they just did with Deebo and all these other guys to try to keep them around and extend that Super Bowl window.
Yeah, I think they'll be more prudent.
If they're a Super Bowl
team. I think they'll be more prudent in how they're paying them, for sure. I think if Deebo is like 20% worse in 2021, I think they probably trade him. But he was so freaking good that you just had, like, you can't just trade a guy after that. But I think in the future, they might think about it. If they're like, we're not really sure he can do that again, we're not really sure how well his game's going to age, then yeah, maybe we see him let go of guys maybe a year early instead of a year late. That was always the Patriots thing, right? So I think that's kind of what we're going to see from the Niners moving forward. But if you think they're not trying to go to the Super Bowl the year they're hosting it, and you think they're not going to do everything they can to try and get to the Super Bowl this year at Levi Stadium, you're out of your freaking mind.
Right. What does that constitute? Doing everything that they can.
They're gonna be active in free agency. They're gonna be aggressive in the draft. Okay. They're gonna do what they can to build a winner this year. Okay. It's not like they're rebuilding and punting on the year.
Yeah.
They're just reassessing how they dole out their big time deals. That's how I've taken it.
You think Ayuk gets moved?
Nah.
Do you think they want to move Ayuk?
For if somebody's gonna come over the top and be like, hey, here's a first.
Oh, God.
But that's not going to happen.
That's not really.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what they're open to moving him. Yeah, sure. If Pittsburgh wants to give up a first, the Niners are super open to moving him.
Yeah.
But if Pittsburgh is going to call and go, hey, how about a sixth round pick? They're going to be like, the hell with you.
Yeah. Third trading round. Brandon Ayuk with his torn ACL for a first round pick definitely seems like a Steelers move.
Right. But that's just it. Is it's not going to, like, if some team's going to bowl him over and the Niners are going to fleece him for Brandon Ayuk, then, like, yeah, they're open to it. But they say every year, we're open to trading everybody.
Relax, Steelers fans. That was sarcasm. That's obviously the most anti-Steeler moves possible. Great stuff from Kyle Madsen for the extra long conversation here. Meet Kyle Madsen at the game tonight. Yeah. Form your autograph lines in an orderly fashion.
Yeah, please. It got out of hand last time.
It did. And that's okay. and like, we tried to put Kenny's security in charge of that.
I don't have
Kenny's,
security.
Kenny's security was obviously following him because he kind of veered off into into areas with commoners and, you know, had to be protected. So we'll come back. We'll get back to the Sacramento Kings. Eddie Gonzalez coming up, 2:15. James Hamm coming up, final hour of the show. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.